Some papers were discovered of an 18th century landowner who happened to be a member of Parliament by the name of John Ward. And in his papers was a prayer that John Ward had written, and it goes like this. O Lord, thou knowest I have mine estates in the city of London, and likewise that I have lately purchased an estate in the county of Essex. I beseech thee to preserve the two counties of Middlesex and Essex from fire and earthquake. And as I have a mortgage in Herefordshire, I beg of thee likewise to have an eye of compassion on that county. As for the rest of the counties, thou mayest deal with them as thou art pleased. If only it wasn't true, but that was the prayer that was prayed. How do we pray? That's the question that's at the heart of this gospel message. Obviously not in a self-centered way like John Ward, but isn't there a little bit of us in most of our prayers? How to pray? A question posed by disciples and posed by ourselves throughout life. Is there some mystery that we haven't yet discovered? And of course, Jesus gives us a prayer, a structure that shapes all our prayers. And whenever we are lost to know how to pray, to come back to the Lord's Prayer is always a good place to be. Prayer is simple, but it is profoundly difficult to access at times. Because we're moving in a deepening relationship from the I wants of ourselves and the John Wards of life, and myself included, to the your will be done of God in our lives. God does care about our needs, and that's really important to say right from the outset. There's clear teaching here in Luke's gospel of good gifts offered by God to us. But note that the Lord's Prayer starts with honouring God and making sure that we rely on Him for our daily bread. Prayer often is seen as private, and much of the time it is. We don't hear the words of others as they pray. But sadly, it's often seen as being something for professionals, whatever that means. Prayer is private, prayer is public, prayer is for everyone. It can be silent. But when we are silent, what might that mean when we are asked to pray for others? I remember lots of conversations that I had where people would end it by saying, I'll pray for you. And I was thinking, well, why don't you do that now? It's not that I didn't think they weren't going to pray for me, but there's power when we pray publicly. You might occasionally catch Louise and I praying in the entrance hall just before the service. You know, we check no one's coming up just at that moment, because when you come in and you see two people with their heads down, you think, what on earth's going on? But there's something about seeing people pray that is engaging. It's quite clear that when Jesus was praying here, the disciples saw something that was attractive. It was something that they wanted, and that's what we have. But what I would say is that when we pray for people, something always happens. There's power in it. So my guess is, very simply, we're invited to do it because God calls us to pray. When you pray, not if, it is not so much an invitation, almost a command by Jesus. And Jesus rarely does that. So he's saying this is a very, very important thing. But it is an action. Notice that Jesus' prayer obviously started and it finished. Prayer is work. It's hard. So when people often say to me, well, you know, my best years are behind me, I can't lug all the chairs and tables, I can't organise whatever it is, I would say we'd love you to pray, because that's really the sort of the heart, the engine room of whatever goes on in the mission and ministry of church life. But it is hard work. My sense is that the disciples were learning. They observed. Then they joined in, then they led. Isn't it remarkable that that as you and I pray today, we're following a model of following Jesus for the last 2,000 years. And we pray his prayer very, very regularly. But it got me thinking about prayer. Why do we not pray? What are the obstacles? So let me just enter into my mind here as I went through some thoughts. Well, sometimes it's because there are no immediate results. We're a very instant culture. So when we pray, we think, well, God's like a genie in the box, and suddenly it's all going to change. But perhaps the greatest invitation in prayer is to see things from God's point of view and less so ours. So there's a time perspective. We might be very comfortable. I have all I need. But the minute you say that, you know that prayer's got rather distorted if you think it's a shopping list to God to give you a Lamborghini, or actually a Ferrari, as it was outside the wedding yesterday, which I did look at and think, could I trade my Skoda in for that? Who knows? Another reason why we might not pray is fear. What if we get it wrong? We might be embarrassed. And just to encourage you, I was leading a service in a church a number of years ago, and I said, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and I completely forgot all the words. That's why we print things in the Church of England. It's because of amnesia in the clergy. Okay, it's simple. But God delights in the jumble and the mess of our words because we're having a conversation with him. That's the key thing. We may not pray because we've been disappointed. Seemingly there has been no answer. And that raises some very profound and intriguing questions. Unbelief. It's a nice idea to pray, but it has no credibility or effectiveness. Surely there must be something beyond that. But at the heart of the Christian message for 2,000 years is that prayer is essential. We can get too easily distracted, and that's why structure may help. I think Jesus gave his disciples this prayer to begin with, so they could always come back to it and always hold on to it. Some people may feel God is indifferent to their prayers. He isn't. And of course, one of the reasons why we may not pray is that no one's taught us. Well, we just need to follow Jesus' example here. So how do we go about praying? Well, it's a conversation. It's as simple as that. It's the continuation of what we do day in, day out. But we're having that conversation with and including God in it. There's a really nice model of the word of prayer. Pause. Stop. Rejoice. Be thankful and reflect on what we do. Ask for whatever it is that may be on your heart or your concerns. Yield. Trust God. So P-R-A-Y. Pause, rejoice and reflect, ask, yield. And if you're using the Lectio 365 app, that's the shape of daily prayer, and it's been really helpful for me. Find a place that works. Jesus was somewhere. We don't know where. I guess everyone thinks he was in a hidden room or a cave somewhere. But he was seen. He was heard. So it's not always that we have to be silent and remote, but that can work for us as well. Find a time that's suitable. For me, it's usually the beginning of the day. And use words, but use silence to listen. It's a two-way process. Growing and discipling ourselves. And my sense is that passage from Colossians is a gift. It's talking about being rooted in God. So we can turn some of those words into prayers. For example, in verse 6 and 7, right at the beginning, you've received Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him. Lord, help me to live my life more like you. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith. May my faith grow today in small ways that encourage me and enable me to know your will in my life. Overflowing with thankfulness. Thank you, God, for the gift of today. Thank you for Message Sunday this afternoon. Don't know who's coming, but we're going to have a great time. Amen. Very simple, you know. And in case you thought that was scripted, I made that up, okay? But, you know, it's not made up. It just flows. God's given us words in the Bible to help us pray. And of course, with boldness is how we pray. Consistent and persistent. This knocking on a friend's door until the loaves appear at midnight. Good gifts from a heavenly Father. And interesting, there's more teaching here on prayer than there is the actual prayer. So Jesus knows it's quite difficult to pray for us sometimes. Matthew's version, which is a little bit more extended, actually also begins with how not to pray. Hypocritical babbling. Was that the way I started the sermon today? So why pray? It works. The testimony of Christians throughout history is that it works. We begin to discern God's presence and power in our lives. Even if our prayers are not answered according to our will, God will respond always in His. We find God's perspective in things rather than our own. We begin to understand the bigger picture. We've invited God into the midst. And when God's in the room, something good always happens. Which is why when we're struggling, it's a really good thing to say, even to people who you may not do this with normally, can we just stop for a minute because I need to pray, or I need to pray about the situation because I'm struggling. It brings God in, it invites Him into the place. So my sense is that we should be offering prayer more regularly, more boldly, more persistently. Perhaps some simple ways to begin that are to pray the Lord's Prayer daily. To pray for one person daily. One situation daily. And be open to the opportunity that when you hear somebody who obviously needs something of the goodness and the glory, and the love and the joy of God in their lives, for whatever reason, say to them, can I pray for you? 5 very simple, very profound words. And in my experience, whether I'm wearing a dog collar or not, 99.9% of people say, yes, please. And then God does the rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple but profound teaching on prayer. Encourage us to be more bold and persistent, not only in our daily prayer lives, but in our prayers for others and for your broken world. Help us to see you at work in us and help us to trust you more fully. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.